Welcome to the City Confessions. I'm Marianne Yip, a native New Yorker, and I'm here to discuss all the thoughts that go through the minds of people living in New York City. Since I'm a native who was born and raised in the city that never sleeps, I come across people who are constantly in a rush. I would like to take a moment to sit down and talk about what's on their minds and what keeps them up at night. So sit back and let's dive into these confessions of people I know and people I just met. Hi guys, welcome back to the next episode of the City Confessions. I am recording yet again from the comfort of my home. And today I have, let me try not to butcher her name, Sumaya Mullah-Carrillo. And she's a financial coach and dancer, and she's based in New York City. So welcome.
Hi, thank you so much for having me today. I am so excited to be chatting with you.
Yes, and for those of you who don't know, she is Sarah's partner, and Sarah, I interviewed her maybe like 3-4 episodes back, so it's so interesting. I actually didn't even make the connection, and so afterwards, she's like, I kind of know who you are.
So I heard all about your podcast. You're getting a couple.
Sarah's literally such a sweetheart. Like, I didn't know her prior. And it's a weird thing to invite somebody to your home and kind of just be like, hey, what's up? Like, let's be friends. But her energy is so positive. So I can totally understand, like, obviously, like, why you adore her.
Oh, yeah. I absolutely adore her. She's like the first and only person I've ever dated.
That's the best, right? I mean, you don't need to, like, go through all that heartbreak and heartache.
Yeah, no. So, I mean, we've been together like over 3 years, and it's so, so good. I can't imagine being with anybody else.
Oh, my God.
But yeah, she does have like such a way with people, and she's so charming and kind. So I'm like, of course you are charmed.
Yeah, and after all this chaos is over, I definitely want to meet you, and we can probably all three like get lunch or something, because I totally want to see the dynamic between you guys as well.
Right, once we can go outside in New York City.
Yes. Okay, but this episode is about you. So why don't you first introduce yourself, tell the audience a little bit about who you are, what your background is, and I know you're not originally from New York City, correct?
Correct.
So then tell me about the journey to New York.
So I am Sumaya. I moved to New York City just over a year ago with my partner, Sarah. And I am a financial coach for freelancers, and I'm also a contemporary dancer. And so I moved to New York from Seattle, which is where I went to college. I got my BFA in dance there, and I absolutely loved it. I just felt like so lucky to be able to go to school and do the thing that I really love doing every day. And like then after that, I was like, you know what, New York is the place to be if I want to make this a career. And then I kind of got into financial coaching, kind of like from a place of like needing to pivot in my career. I was working in arts administration, so I was like doing nonprofit fundraising and nonprofit development. And then I actually got a great job when I moved to the city. But I ended up, and so I was so excited about it. It was at like this huge dance center. And I was so, so excited about it. And then I think I very quickly realized that it was a bit of a toxic work environment. And I was like not using my skills in the way that I wanted to. And then I got this idea to start a financial coaching business, because I'm very like type A. I'm really organized. I love a good spreadsheet, and I've done like a lot of work on my own personal finances. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of saw this need, especially in the artistic community, for like somebody to help people get all of the foundations down, because obviously finances are kind of crazy for freelancers. Everybody is just managing it on their own, and it's like a whole thing. And so I decided that I was going to be that guide and that person and that educator. And so I decided to start my own business as well.
I love hearing that. I mean, I personally am also really interested in finance, and I think I like pride myself on having a good relationship like with money and budgeting. And I know that a lot of people can't say the same. And I do think it's a conversation, especially in the freelance industry or even like in the creative space, that's definitely lacking. And obviously, as you know, like businesses normally grow when there is a gap in the market for it. So it's perfect why you're in it. So you just started it last year, you said?
Yes, I started my business in January, actually. So I guess this year.
Amazing.
Like 4 months old.
Okay. And how has that been?
What's that?
How has that been? Like just like the first few months?
It's been really interesting. It's been, I feel like I'm not a natural, like, I don't want to say like public speaker, because I am really good at public speaking, but like it's not natural for me to like put my face out there and like really like advertise myself, which is like part of running your own business. And so that has been a very interesting shift for me. But it's also been really amazing because I get to talk to people about money, which is like this thing that just impacts everybody's lives, and I get to hear like what they really need and what they want to learn, and so I really love that part of it.
Amazing. So I know you mentioned a little bit about you touched a little bit about personality, and I know in your profile you put that you are an INTJ, which is an architect in the Myers-Briggs personality test, which I'm also really fascinated with. So, of course, if you put it, I'm sure you have knowledge about it. So,
I love a Myers-Briggs.
Okay, so one, why don't you tell the listeners what it is, what personality you are, and why did you decide to include that in your bio?
Yeah, so the INTJ personality type, this is like, I feel like everybody has like a personality test or like an astrology type that they really identify with, and I feel like this is just the one for me. It's basically, the letters stand for introverted, intuitive, thinking, and judging. And basically, to sum it up, it means this person is like a bit of a strategist, a bit of like a calculating mind, but also like really multifaceted, and creative, like a creative thinker and problem solver. And so, yeah, I just feel like that really describes me. Like, I think in so many ways, in my dance, in my business, and like trying to figure out what the heck I want to do with my career, I just try to think of it like one step at a time. Like, I'm really good at seeing like the big picture and how everything in the puzzle fits together, to put into that, which like can also be paralyzing as well, because I'm just like such a planner. But yeah, I think it's just like, it gives you an insight into how my brain works. I'm very calculating.
No, I totally agree. I definitely have some attributes that are similar to yours. So I know we didn't even talk about what's going on in the world, because I don't want every single episode to be revolved around that. But obviously, I think it's important to acknowledge it. And since you are a planner, which I am as well, and you say that you have, you know, a very calculated like a personality, how are you dealing with the whole the coronavirus? How are you dealing with that? And yeah, what has been the challenges with being in isolation or quarantine?
I mean, honestly, I feel like the biggest challenge for me is not knowing when it's gonna end or like what the world is gonna look like after this. I think like right now I had a couple plans. I was gonna go travel. I actually would have been in Portland right now, but like obviously that didn't happen. So I am still in New York City. And so I just kind of had plans to travel. I was also pursuing my Pilates teaching certificate.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. Right now as well, and that's been canceled. So I'm kind of like, I feel like I'm having to like reshape my idea of like what this whole year is going to look like, and then sort of push back those landmarks because I cannot leave my apartment right now.
Yeah. And where are you guys right now again?
We're in East Harlem.
Okay.
Yeah. So actually not too far from Central Park as well.
Okay.
And I think like we could walk over and see the Field Hospital that mm-hmm. they set up over there.
Yeah. No, yeah, it's so crazy, like, what you were saying, because I think it just goes to show how drastically things can change. And I think the most, maybe, like, shocking part was that it was so quickly. Like, I felt like it came out of the blue. Like, we kind of knew about it. And then, like, within a week, it was, like, 0 to 100, you know?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And, like, I feel lucky because, like, I had quit my job. I was like working full-time on my business, and I just had like occasional rehearsals to go to, so I feel like my situation didn't change so much.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been pretty shocking, I think, also being a part of like the creative community. Mm-hmm. Just like how many people I know whose like entire livelihoods have been completely knocked out.
100%. I think also, like, yeah, my network is probably half-half. I feel like half of the people are also in the creative space, freelancers working for themselves, and the other half are, you know, obviously salaried, but their jobs have been affected as well. And it's just, yeah, it's insane because I think 2020 kind of just started, and the fact that it's been such a whirlwind already, it's so, I don't know, yeah, it's just this uncertainty, right, of like what's gonna happen.
Yeah, definitely. So I think I'm trying to like put my planning brain to the side and just kind of focus on being mindful a little bit more and like enjoying the time that I have in this teeny tiny 500 square foot apartment with my partner, which is like a challenge for me because I always want to be working on something new.
Right. So walk me through your day, though. I mean, how are you guys spending, or you guys, or just you, how are you spending, like, your week? Do you have a routine? Yeah, walk me through, maybe, like, what happened this week.
I would say on a general day, Sarah and I wake up pretty late. We're, like, not morning people. So we'll get up around, like, 9 a.m., and then have a slow breakfast, cuddle with the cat, and maybe do some reading, maybe jump straight on our phones. And then we just, you know, work from our laptops for the next couple hours, have some lunch at home. And then when we wrap it all up, we've been doing, like trips to the roof. We have a great rooftop on our building, which is like a lifesaver.
Same.
It feels so weird to go outside right
mm-hmm,
now.
Mm-hmm. I totally understand. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So then we'll go up to the roof. Do the. Have you been getting the like 7 o'clock applause over at?
Yes, surprisingly, I have. In the beginning, I don't like we weren't getting it, and I thought it was maybe just a Manhattan thing. And then one day I just like heard it, and then it has been consistent. So I was like, okay, cool. Yeah, I also didn't know it was like a thing every single day. I thought when they told, because my friend actually works in the hospital, she sent me it. I thought it was like just that one special day. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, it's been like every night so loud over here, especially because we're close to the Upper East Side.
Right.
So like Mount Sinai Hospital. But yeah, so I mean, we just like work on our laptops. I have been having Zoom dance rehearsals.
Okay.
So I like sometimes on Thursdays and Fridays for like 3 hours, I clear out my living room and I like push the couch to the side and put my laptop in front of the window. And me and my dance company, which is like 5 other dancers in New York City, try our best to make some dance happen.
That's so cute. I mean, you have to like make it work, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, I think the biggest challenges have been like one, both me and Sarah work in from the apartment, and sometimes we need to take calls at the same time. Or like, I'm in a dance rehearsal and she needs to take a call, so she has to go to the roof. And then two, just like finding a way to make sure that we can turn our work brains off. I think, like, especially as freelancers and business owners, it's like we want to be working all the time, and that's like especially true for me.
I mean, I think it goes both ways. I think even with freelancers, the schedule probably might not have changed as much. Like for me, the concept of working from home is not foreign. It's actually what I've been doing prior. But yeah. I think it's the fact that I don't have my physical meetings in the city, and I haven't been in the city for like 5 weeks, which is so weird for me as a, like a native. And I think other people are just probably, you know, even if they're used to it, it comes to a time when you just get lazy or like really unmotivated.
Yeah.
So, but it's good that you have Sarah so you guys can both, you know, push each other and work together and
definitely
have that support system.
Yeah, and I feel really lucky too that we're very solid and we like enjoy spending time with each other. Like, I don't think I could be quarantined with anybody else and like not go insane. Even my parents, I love them, but like it's not the same.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so I want to ask you what keeps you up at night, and this can totally relate to what's happening since I feel like it's in the forefront of all of our minds, but it can also be something that's personal or anything that's like whatever you're comfortable with sharing. But yeah, like what's stressing you out? And I think a lot of people put up a front that everything is okay, you know? And honestly, if you are having I don't want to say great time, but if you're doing fine, that is okay as well. You know, you don't have to have, you know, be currently having something that's like keeping you up at night.
Yeah. I mean, I was literally just talking with Sarah about this last night, and we like stayed up so late. But I feel like, honestly, for me, I think I'm pretty young. I'm 23 and I'm like just starting my own business and like figuring out what it means to be an artist and an entrepreneur in the world. And so I feel like the things that keep me up at night are like things about my personal development. Like I have really debilitating imposter syndrome, where I just feel like everybody around me is like doing amazing and like knows so much, and is like making really great progress. And like, sometimes I feel like I have nothing to offer, which is like, admittedly, I know that's not true, but yeah, it's pretty insane. Sometimes I like go on such a crazy thought spiral. So yeah, just being a little vulnerable there, that's what keeps me up at night, and I like am always worried.
Yeah, I mean, that sentiment is very common. I definitely experience it myself. I think a lot of people, I don't even know why we have imposter syndrome. I don't know if it stems from like what you were saying, insecurity, or maybe like just comparison, but yeah. I definitely experience it all the time, and I feel like I have to like check myself and tell myself, okay, you're here for a reason, or whether it's an event or a job that I received. Yeah, it's definitely hard. But how do you, I guess, change that voice in your head?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of just like, I have to think about everything that I've already done. Like, nobody's gonna expect me to have all the answers. Nobody's gonna expect me to be like an incredible genius. And like, that's fine. And I'm like really trying to use the resources and the relationships and the knowledge that I have to like make a difference and like make people's lives better and like make art. And so, yeah, I think it just helps me to think of like what I've already done and like that in itself is like good enough.
And then, like, in your space, I guess in the dance field, is it, like, how is that? Like, do you feel like it's competitive? Because you're not actually, well, are you guys competing? Or, like, what is the whole background with your dance company?
Yeah. So, my dance company is called Kinesis Dance Project. And we do outdoor, site-specific dance performances. So it's very much in like the contemporary concert dance world. And I really, really love it. I really love dancing outside. I feel like within the concert dance world, it's not necessarily as competitive or as cutthroat as like something like Broadway or commercial dance.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty consciously like not what I'm going after, just because I don't think I would thrive in that type of environment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I think the thing that I really love about contemporary dance is like the sense of community and like the fact that there are so many different ways that people can be a professional dancer. Like, I think I talk to relatives and they're like, oh, but like, are you dancing full time? And I'm like, I don't think that I necessarily need to be in order to call myself a professional dancer. Like, people just mix and match and like make the most of whatever companies or collectives or partnerships they want and that they come up with.
Mm-hmm.
And then they just like shape their own careers, which I think is amazing. And that's like one of my favorite things about concert dance.
Yeah. And is dance for you like a hobby right now, or are you trying to also do both, which is totally okay?
Yeah, I'm definitely trying to do both. Yeah, like I said, I have my college degree in dance, mm-hmm. so it's definitely something that's really huge in my life. I think I've been taking it a bit slow in terms of like seeking out professional opportunities since I moved to New York City.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I'm like, I was like trying to get my feet on the ground financially and like figure out what my work situation is going to be. I know very few people who make their living solely from doing contemporary dance.
Right, yeah.
So I just kind of knew that if I wanted this to be sustainable and if I wanted to stay in the city and dance for a long time, I like needed to figure out how to make both happen.
For sure. Okay, so I want to bring it back to New York City. I know you kind of just moved here recently. So right now, is New York just temporary? Are you going with the flow? Like, what is your relationship with New York?
Yeah, I think I'm in it for the long haul, honestly.
Yeah.
I really, really like New York City. Yeah, I just feel like I never see myself getting bored here. I feel like there's just so much here that I could never get anywhere else. Like maybe down the line, like 10 or 20 years, I'll move away from the city. But like, I really don't want to do that unless I feel like I'm like bored or I want something else or like there's something that I can't get here.
Mm-hmm. No. Yeah. I love hearing that. I know we're like jumping around just because it's pretty, I feel like I'm blaming it on like the whole quarantine. Like, my mind is just racing, and it's obviously, I always record. Yeah. I'm like, what day is it? No, because I always record in person. Like, that's something that I was almost like a non-negotiable for me when I started this podcast. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. And I actually was gonna just like pause the whole thing and just say, you know, like whenever this picks goes back to normal, I'll pick it back up. But then I figured, you know what, like, just go roll with the punches, and you know, we just have to adapt. But another question I wanted to ask, which is, yeah, it's just jumping around, is going back to your relationship with Sarah. Like, how do, like, I'm such a hopeless romantic, and I'm single, and I just like love beautiful stories about love, and I've never met you, but I can tell just from the way you talk about Sarah and how she talks about you that you guys are truly such you have such a special relationship.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, this is not going into like a dating or like love advice podcast, but what has been like, have you guys like had any struggles, and like what is your advice for couples or just people in general about, you know, the lessons that you learned so far with her?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we have definitely had struggles. I think the biggest one, Sarah talked about it when she was on here, mm-hmm. with you, is last year in June, her dad passed away,
mm-hmm.
Right after we had moved to New York City. And I was relatively close also with her family. I just think like he was such a warm, kind, sweet, generous guy. And like, yeah, it was really, really hard. I was in the hospital with her. I was there with her while it happened. And so that is like a huge, huge stress on a relationship because mm-hmm. obviously I didn't have the same relationship with him as she did. He was like literally her dad. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so I think after that, there were like a lot of shifts in terms of like how we communicate and how we like showed each other intimacy. Mm-hmm. And like, it was just kind of this moment where like, I knew that I needed to be there for her, but I also knew that I needed to give her space to grieve and to like deal with the feelings on her own without feeling like anybody else was like making things messy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so I think that has been our biggest challenge, definitely. And I think the key to that is like we knew that there was never a chance that it was gonna break us up. Like, if anything, we started communicating more and we started like trying to be there for each other more. And it's like an awful thing to go through. It's an awful thing to see your partner in so much pain like that. But yeah, I just think like you just have to know that like breaking up is not an option. Mm-hmm. Like that's what we tell each other. We're like, if
you're stuck with me,
we're gonna talk about it and we're gonna like make it so that both of us feel happy and we're gonna like work through it. And so we just like kept the communication open and like we're still together and we're still like ridiculously in love. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, I love it. My heart is melting, literally. But since you guys are both creative, like, I know you guys are not technically in this, you know, doing the same exact thing, but does that help? Does it ever, you know what I mean? Like, how is it being with another creative?
Yeah. I never thought that I would date another creative, actually. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. I just like had this idea that like maybe it's because I am so strategic and like such a planner. But I was like, yeah, I'm gonna like marry somebody who's like an engineer or something. Also, my entire family is in tech, so maybe that was part of it. but yeah, so I think I was just like so pleasantly surprised when Sarah and I got to know each other, and it was like our brains were on the same wavelength, and like we could relate about art and like creating performances in the same way. Yeah, and I just think like she's so smart. It's like so attractive. Like, she's also creative. So yeah, I honestly love it. I really do, and that's not something that I ever saw for myself.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, I hope like the listeners aren't tired of hearing how much, you know, how great of a relationship you guys have. It's goals, and I'm here for it.
Thank you.
Okay, so we're gonna dive a little deeper. So the podcast is called The City Confessions, and I'm sure you already knew this was coming, but I have my guests reveal a confession they have, like, you know, just because I know it's a little weird because I don't know you, and you're probably like, oh, you want me to tell me, you know what I mean? Like, I'm here asking you to tell me, like, your confession, but I think there's a beauty in kind of opening up somewhat to a stranger, because I always believe that vulnerability is beautiful, and we always, whether we realize it or not, are holding on to something, and it's always, you know, difficult to talk about, but this is a safe platform, and it's whatever you want to feel like sharing. It can be deep or not. People have shared the most, like, the silliest confessions. It's just part of my gosh. Yeah, it's just part of the format. So if you were to complete the sentence,
I knew this was coming because I listened to a couple of your episodes to get ready for this. But yeah, I think it's like hard for me to pick one confession.
Oh, you could say multiple.
I think one, like, I feel like I always think like the grass is greener. And what I mean by that is like when I started, like even now when I'm like making my financial coaching business become a thing and like going all in, I'm like, okay, but what if I started a graphic design business? Or like, but what if I went to law school? And so I feel like there are so many endless possibilities and I'm interested in so many things. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like always worried that I'm doing the wrong thing.
Right. Well, my advice to you is that it's totally fine to have more than one interest. Like you said, it shows that you're probably like a jack of all trades. And you're probably really good at, you would be all good at all those elements. You know what I mean? That's just part of your DNA, you can say. But I think also, like, if you, there's a reason why you decided to start your financial, like, coaching business. And you just started it, so go on that path. And that path is not permanent. You know what I mean? Like, the beauty of it is that you can always try. You can always, that can take you somewhere else. It can evolve. You might realize you don't like it. I mean, you know what I mean? It's just all about experiencing and getting the most out of life and opportunities. And honestly, the universe always has your back. Like, you'll figure it out.
I love that.
Wait, did you have another confession?
Oh, okay. This one's kind of silly. This was the first one that I thought of. But I've been to Brooklyn like 3 times since moving to New York.
That's your confession?
Isn't that ridiculous?
No, it's not, because you're talking to such a city girl, and I never thought in a million years that I'd be a Brooklyn. Like, I'm living in Brooklyn, and I actually freaking love it. Yeah. But I was always, not anti-Brooklyn, but I was like, I'm not traveling all the way there. Like, there's nothing there for me. Like, I'm such a city girl. And then actually, since this whole situation happened, I'm so grateful to be here, just because I feel like there is that, not detachment, because I don't ever want to, you know, not be associated with the city or Manhattan, but right, just the space and everything. I also have a rooftop, but I think it's pretty rare in the city.
Yeah, definitely. No, I think, like, we just landed, we, like, picked a place in Manhattan, we were like, this is where it's gonna be. Yeah, and, like, all my dance rehearsals are in Manhattan. Yeah, so I really don't go to Brooklyn often. My friends who live there are like, are you ever gonna come over?
I know, don't worry, I understand. But I will say, if, I mean, I don't know where they live, but one of my favorite parts is like Williamsburg. You've been there, right? Or you haven't?
No, I really like Williamsburg.
Yeah, it's so lovely in the summer. And I think hopefully when this all, like, you know, again, goes back to normal, like, the William Vale is one of my favorite places. And the hotel has the beautiful, like, rooftop bar, which has a great view, and there's not that many, like, douchey people like that you would meet in the city. But yeah, you should
that
check it out.
So nice. Okay, I'll check it out. I'm gonna go to Brooklyn more after this is over. I've gotta like fully appreciate the city.
Totally. And like, are you a brunch girl?
Yes, all the way.
Okay, because there's like amazing brunch spots in like Williamsburg. Like, I actually, that was like the main reason why I even traveled to Brooklyn when I was living in Manhattan, like for food.
Yes, oh my gosh. Well, send me your recommendations.
Oh, girl, I will. Trust. Oh, yeah, we need to get together. So, like, that would be, yeah, you have to meet me in Brooklyn then.
Right, yes.
That's like killing two birds with one stone. For sure. Okay, so I just want to take a moment now to, like, be, like, kind of, you know, present with you, even though this is kind of remote and virtual, but... And just, like, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me and talk to us during this crazy time. And I think, you know, everybody is going through this the way they are going through it. Like, there's no right or wrong way. But the fact that you still were able to say yes to me, I totally appreciate that, because I have such a strong appreciation for, like, the concept of time and the concept of, like, people blocking out a specific time for me. Like, I'm so grateful for that. And before we leave, I still have a few questions, but I do want you to just, like, maybe tell the listeners some quick financial tips, maybe to get through this, because I know that a lot of people are going through a rough time, and I'm really scared for our economy, you know, coming out of this. But maybe what are your quick tips on, I don't know, like, not better manage your finance, but just anything that you think would be helpful.
Okay, no, I love this. You are totally speaking my language. I would be more than happy. I think I'm gonna do three. I think the first one is, like, make sure you know what your essential expenses are. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of the clients that I work with like, just don't they come to me because, like, there is no understanding of, like, what the minimum is that you need to live on. And, like, right now is a time where if your job is in jeopardy, if, like, you're losing income, it's just time to, like, know what those expenses are and double down on them. Mm-hmm. And, like, know that you can always negotiate them. You can always ask for help. You can, like, there's no shame in that. There's no guilt in that, especially because everybody is literally in the same boat right now. So, like, if you need to talk to your landlord, do it. If you need to call your cable company, do it. If you need to call your internet provider, do it. There's, like, so many resources for assistance out there if you, like, can't meet those bare bones expenses. I think my second one would be that cash savings, like savings in a savings account or a checking account, is going to be key. If we are headed into a recession, like, the best way to get through that is just by, like, having cash on hand. And so, yeah, if you don't have that, start building it up. There are so many small ways you can do it. So that's another one.
And sorry, for clarification, when you say cash, are you talking about physical or just, like, the fact, like, you mentioned checking and savings, correct? Or?
Yeah, I wouldn't recommend keeping positive cash in your apartment. But, yeah, I mean, what I mean by that is just, like, if you have investments, that's so great, but, like, ideally, you don't want to have to touch those.
Got it, right. Okay.
Yeah, so, you know, make sure that you have a solid emergency fund and a savings fund.
Wait, I have a question about that, because I know there's no right, I mean, there's no, like, rule of thumb, because they say your emergency fund is whatever you're comfortable with, but mm-hmm. would you say that goes back to your tip one of basically figuring out what are your, you know, what you need, the bare, either minimum, I guess, to survive, and then multiply that by however months you're comfortable with in terms of, like,
totally.
30, okay.
Totally. So you should take that first number. Honestly, for, like, freelancers, I would recommend 6 months.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
At least. I think I know a lot of people who recommend 12 months if you're a business owner or a freelancer. It's just, you know, it's a matter of comfort and it's a matter of, like, what your responsibilities are. So take that first number, take all of your essential expenses, multiply it by 6, and that's how much you should have stocked away in an emergency savings fund. And if you have to start small, like $500, $1,000, start small, and then, like, check off each landmark towards getting there.
Got it. And then your last tip?
My last tip, I think has to do more with, like, money mindset than actual financial tips. Mm-hmm. But I think it's just that there is an abundance of money in the world. I think especially in a time like right now and in a time of crisis, people get so scared and, like, so into, like, this scarcity mindset that, like hoarding money and, like, being afraid to make money is, like, not going to help you. Like, the more you can make, the more you can be generous, the easier it's going to be to get through this. And so I think I would say just, like, be conscious of what you're thinking about when mm-hmm. it comes to money, and, like, just, like, changing your thought process can make things even so much smoother.
I love that so much, because I think it really does start with mindset, and that's why I believe I personally have a good relation with money, because I think if you say, and I believe in, like, you know, positive affirmations and a law of attraction. But yeah. I totally agree with what you're saying, because even if you're going through a rough time, I think if you tell yourself, like, money's everywhere, you know, I can make money and that I'm ready to make money, and, you know, you have to spend money to make, to give money, whatever, like, that whole perspective of, like, that positive mindset, I do believe in a weird way that it attracts that. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think sometimes I have a weird hang up when I say this to people, because I think there is, like, an innate privilege in that statement, right? Like, mm-hmm. like, I fully believe that, because I haven't ever had to deal with, like, insane poverty or, like, you know, some of these, like, systemic barriers towards, like, having enough money, like, actually having enough. Mm-hmm. But I do think that, like, even if you are in that situation, there is power in acknowledging, like, what you say and what you think matters. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that it can all start there.
Yeah, no. Yeah, I love that. So what are you currently up to? I mean, in terms of what are your goals? What can the listeners be on the lookout for? I do believe I saw that you're offering one-to-one, like, virtual consultations or?
Yeah, so I've just launched my one-on-one money mentorship, which is, as you said, one-on-one financial coaching. It's a little different from having, like, a financial advisor or a CPA because I really focus on, like, my clients' individual situations and making sure that they feel positive about money. There's, like, some mindset work that goes into it. And then just, like, getting a solid emergency fund and paying off debt. So that's what I focus on with my clients, and I'm offering one-on-one money mentorships. That's what I call that program. And then I also have like a monthly membership, which is mainly for artists and freelancers, but it's called the Create Wealth Collective. And so I basically give people one really small, actionable, manageable money step that they can take every week. And the idea is that all of those little steps compound into really great financial habits and like getting people in a good place.
Mm-hmm. I love that, and I think it's so important. I know that, again, we're all going through a rough time, but for those who, you know, need a little help to manage their money, I would definitely leave all of like that mentorship program and the monthly membership again of like all the offerings that Sumaya has.
I feel like it's such a personal thing, right? Like some people are really good at working out on their own and like are really self-motivated and like can figure it out, and like if that's you with money, then like that's fine, but some of us do need that extra push and that extra accountability and extra knowledge, and so that's what I'm here for.
Yeah, no, totally. And of course, I feel like working with you, like you're such a genuine person, like it would be the perfect, you know, opportunity if people are looking for like some financial direction. But I will leave.
Yeah, I try to be very genuine and open with my clients. And yeah. Money is such an emotional topic sometimes.
For sure, yeah. But yeah, I will leave all of that information in the description. Okay, before we wrap up, the last question I have is what is one moment where you feel the most beautiful?
Ooh, I love this question. That's great. I honestly think it's dancing for me.
I love that.
I feel very, I don't even know if it's beautiful. I just like feel very embodied and like, I feel like I'm not, I just feel like I'm the best I can ever be, like, in my own body when I'm dancing.
I love that. I also want to, like, see you dance. Do you post any videos?
I do. I've been posting less of them because I'm making for financial coaching. But, yeah, I have some on my website as well.
I love, like, dance. Like, I used to be obsessed with, like, So You Think You Can Dance.
Oh, so good.
Like, every single time they dance, especially when it's contemporary, like, I literally am like, oh, my God, it's so beautiful.
Well, I'll let you know when I have performances. Yes, yes. All of this craziness is over.
Yeah, that'd be amazing. I would love to go and, like, support you.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, well, thank you so much for chatting with me, Sumaya. It's been lovely, and we are making it happening. We're going to say it right now in the podcast to keep ourselves accountable that we will see each other after all this is over and grab some brunch in Brooklyn. That's definitely happening. But thank you so much again. And to all the listeners, I hope you guys enjoyed this episode and stay tuned for the next one. All right, bye.